What in the world are we doing in Bethany across the Jordan? Why are we even there? Why does John start his gospel with wonderful poetry and then a narrative about John the Baptist, then some more poetry, then some more narrative, and it's the most amazing, perplexing, nuanced book of the Bible, and it starts out with an amazing riddle about light. And John the Baptist is the one pointing the way to that. But still, why are we in Bethany across the Jordan for the beginning of this? Why does this begin here? What in the world is this thing? Well, the reason we're in Bethany is because that's where the workers who were building Sepphoris went to on their day off. And the workers from Sepphoris were mostly imported by the Romans for their building project from places like Nazareth in the Galilee. And they were there to build. That included carpenters and stonemasons. Nazareth, as you know, had been a place where Jesus grew up. We all know that. That's our old ears. But our new ears can hear that this place was a little bit insular. The historian Josephus talks about it as being a little bit cosmopolitan, full of Gentiles that had come there to be part of the Roman building projects. And the Jews there sort of resented it a little bit. So there was conflict. Hence, somebody might say, they might repeat a phrase they'd heard all their life. Yeah, nothing good comes out of Nazareth. And some of them probably even said it sarcastically. Yeah, no, nothing good comes out of Nazareth. Even a person who's from Nazareth, like Nathaniel. He may have been just quoting it because, yeah, I heard it all my life. So there are lots of workers toiling for Rome, and they're ready for a new message. They're ready for a message that says they're not going to live under Rome their whole lives. And so they go to the wilderness, to Bethany beyond the Jordan, to hear this man John preach, this kind of wild man, locust and honey, and wears rough clothes, and sort of going against Jewish tradition. And his first job, one of his first jobs, is to point to his six-month younger cousin and say, folks, I know you think I'm Elijah. I am not. He is the one you seek. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And so what happens is, John is preaching, and Jesus comes, and people see him and hear his message. And one of those, John's disciples, is Andrew. And this is where it starts. Andrew goes and tells one more other person. Then they go and tell one other person. Then they go and tell one other person. And each time the message is pretty much the same. Come and see. I'm not going to tell you what he's saying. You come and see. Hear this with brand new ears. Hear the nuance in it. See the layers. It is my honor and privilege to read from the Gospel of John, first chapter. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, a man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. I myself did not know him. But the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel. And then John gave this testimony. I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. I would not have known him, except that the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, the man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I have seen, and I testify, that this is the Son of God. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, look, the Lamb of God. When the two disciples heard him, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them and asked, what do you want? They said, Rabbi, which means teacher. Where are you staying? Come, he replied, and see. So they went, and they saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about the 10th hour. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, we have found the Messiah, that is the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, you are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas, which, when translated, is Peter, the rock. And the next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said, Follow me. Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth, can anything good come from there?" Nathanael said. "Come and see," said Philip. The word of God for the people of God.
Thank you very much, Conley. I recently had an experience in a store that has taught me something. I was going to a store to get a box so we could put some books in them and take them to the Dorcas shop. I needed several boxes. I needed those kinds of boxes that you put together and tape up and they're easy to carry. So I went to a very, very, very large store and I wasn't sure exactly where to go. So I looked around to see if anyone was available to help me. And I saw a group of people standing over to the side, congregated, talking with one another. And I saw that they were the employees. So I went over there and I said, "Can someone help me? I'm looking for some boxes that I'd like to use to take some, put books in and take to the Dorcas shop." And, well, after they stopped talking with one another, one of them said, "Yeah, it's over there, way on the other side, aisle one. If you look in the back of aisle one, kind of on the side there, it's over there, so it's over there." I thought, okay, well, thank you very much. And I got lost going across that store, and I saw all kinds of things. I saw some nice ceiling fans. I saw some all kinds of tools and all kinds of things. I finally made it over the aisle number one. I thought, well, I'll find it now, and I didn't. And I was kind of perplexed. And about that time, someone else came to me, and it was someone who was working at the store, and they said, "May I help you?" And I said, "Yes, you know, I'm looking for some boxes that I can use to move some books." And they said, "Come with me and let us see." And I said, "Oh, this is great." And so the employee took me, and we walked together, and the employee showed me where the boxes were. And guess where they were? They were in a place that I'd walked right by several different times. But what really worked was when someone said to me, "Come and let us see together. I'll take you there." Now, which way do you think is more effective? The boxes are over there, or "I'll take you there and show you"? The second one, right? Well, hang on to that thought a little bit. And I'll show you why it's important to our message today. Now, Jesus came to Philip. And Philip realized that standing before him was the one he had studied about, the Messiah who was to come. And when he encountered Jesus, his first desire was to share him with Nathanael. And so he went to Nathanael and he said that he had seen the Messiah, the one that they had studied about, the one that Moses had talked about, the prophets had pointed to, Jesus of Nazareth. "That's the Messiah. I just saw him." And the first thing that Nathanael said was, "Well, wait a minute. Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And, you know, it could have been an argument right about then. You know, because, well, Nathanael was from Cana. And there was a rivalry between Nazareth and Cana. But rather than to say, "Yes, yes, something good can come out of Nazareth. You don't understand. And no, nothing can come out of Nazareth." "No, something can. No, nothing can. Listen, this is why I don't like to talk religion. You got your opinion. I got my opinion. Let's just go with our own opinions." You know, if it had turned into an argument, if it turned into a debate all about can anything come out of Nazareth, we don't know what might have happened. But Philip didn't go that way. He simply said, "Come on, come with me, and I'll take you. Come and see for yourself." And they did. And once Nathanael met Jesus, Jesus told him that he knew about him. He had seen him prior to coming back at his home, seated underneath the fig tree, meditating. And Nathanael realized, wait a minute, this is the one. He knows me. And then one of the funniest things, I think, in Scripture, Nathanael goes, wow, you know, wow, that's amazing. And Jesus goes, well, you ain't seen nothing yet. Now, what's going on here is that Philip used the come with me approach. Come and see. Come and see for yourself. You know, it's so very important to realize that one of the basic things that we do as a disciple of Jesus Christ is simply to invite persons to come and see. We are in a new sermon series. It's called Refocus. We're at the beginning of a new year. It's a good time to refocus on what are we all about as disciples of Jesus Christ. Our mission statement is sharing the heart of Christ from the heart of Cary. So let's refocus. Let's get back to the basics. What's one of the first things that we need to be able to do? And that's simply to invite persons to come and see. You know, so many things can happen from a simple invitation. And any of us can give a simple invitation. Bishop Woody White is a dynamic preacher in the Methodist Church. He's been retired several years. He was the bishop in residence at Candler School of Theology for a long period of time. He's well known throughout the church world. He became heavily involved in the civil rights movement. Ever since the death of Martin Luther King, he has written a letter to Dr. Martin Luther King. He writes a letter every year to Dr. Martin Luther King, and he reads that letter. If you go on the website, you can just Google in Bishop Woody White reads his letter, the Dr. Martin Luther King, 2017, January 15th or 14th. Now, the reason I'm telling you this is that I received a magazine from the United Methodist Men this week. Some of you Methodist men may receive the same thing. It comes quarterly. It's a Methodist magazine for those who subscribe to it, United Methodist Men. And there was an article in there by Bishop Woody White. And he said, you know, what a lot of people don't know about him was that there was a time in his life when he wasn't interested in religion. He wasn't interested in the church. When it came to the church, he thought that really the church wasn't about changing anything in society. The church really represented hypocrites more than faithful disciples. He had lots of questions about religion. He belonged to other groups that were doing good things. And so that was his state of mind when he was 18 years old. But he went to get a milkshake at a pharmacy, much like Ashworth's drugstore over here. And as he was seated at the counter drinking his milkshake, a woman came up and sat next to him. Her name was Shirley. And he writes in this article that the conversation came up about church and Woody told her why he didn't go to church and told her what he thought about religion and told her that he was very much involved in civil rights movement. And the lady acknowledged that was good, but she never lost focus of sharing the real thing, which is Jesus. She said, that's good. But do you know who Jesus is? And she was so authentic and so real. And part of the reason he listened to her is because, first of all, she listened to him. And we gain people's respect when we, first of all, hear their story and not share anything of our story until they feel valued and heard, and then they're curious. So he was curious. He said, ma'am, you seem to talk about Jesus as if he's real, as if this he can change lives and change society. And she said, I know he's real, and I know he can change lives, and I know he can change society. As a matter of fact, they could have debated right then, but she just stopped and said, I'd like to invite you to come to my church next week. And he went. A simple invitation. And he spent time amongst people who gathered to worship. He spent some time around people who ate around tables, primarily the table we call the Lord's table. He kind of spent some time around this community. He observed some people. He was with some people. And he was with that lady named Shirley a lot. And it didn't take too long before he came to see that Jesus was real and that Jesus could change lives and that Jesus was the hope for real change in society. And so he joined the church. He became active in the church, and the rest is history. You know, a simple invitation. You know, we call this invitational evangelism. When you say the word evangelism, most of us squeam because we're not comfortable talking with people about religion or about faith or things like that. We don't know how to do it. We are afraid we'd say the wrong things. But you know what? It's not about any of that at all. It's just about being real, about being who you are. You know, you're a witness to what you've seen and experienced and what you know. You just have your story to share. You don't have to tell people what they must believe or not believe. You have your story to share. But more importantly, you have the power to invite someone to come and see for themselves. And so if you think about it, the three R's are something for us to keep in mind when it comes to invitational evangelism. The three R's. And the first R is recognize. Do we recognize anyone in our life right now as being a candidate of someone we could invite to go with us somewhere to see Jesus? Now, what I mean by seeing Jesus is, well, where would you take someone if you wanted to invite someone to see Jesus? You would probably take them somewhere where there are followers of Jesus doing Jesus things like loving and forgiving and feeding and healing and suffering for and on behalf of others. That's a good question. You know, you could invite persons to come to church, but you could invite persons to go somewhere else as well. But the first thing that we need to do is to ask, who do we recognize as being a candidate to invite? And the second R is referral. And that has to do with who would we refer them to? In other words, where would be those places and who would be those people that we would invite them to come and see? The third R is this, to remember, why do we do this? From time to time, you know, we do many things, but we forget the reason why do we do things. You know, the reason that I tell stories, the reason that I preach, the reason that I do what I do is about saving lives. I believe that Jesus Christ can save people from despair and hopelessness and sense of worthlessness and from guilt and shame. And I believe Jesus can save lives. And so I do it because I know Jesus can change lives. And that's the motivating factor. So the three R's are to recognize who it is that might be ready for an invitation to come and see. And referral, where would that be and with whom would that be? And then always keep in mind that third R, remember why. Because it's about change lives. Now, this doesn't happen right away. You know, one of my favorite stories many, many, many years ago goes something like this. It's not exactly detail to detail, but it goes something like this. You know, this fella who had a young family, didn't go to church, didn't see the need for church, but he was a good guy. He loved sports. one of his friends said, hey, you know, several of us got season tickets to the football team over here, and each game we reserve some tickets just to invite somebody to go with us. We'd like to invite you to go with us to the football game. He went, wow, free ticket to go see the football game? I'll go. So they go to the football game. They watch the football game. They enjoy the football game. But you see, all of these guys who decided to invest their money to buy season tickets and extra tickets so they can invite people knew what they were doing. They simply invited him to go with them to the football game. And he liked it, and he liked being with them. And they said, hey, you know what? We kind of like being with you. And he said, well, I kind of like being with y'all. And they said, well, you know what? On Thursday mornings, we meet down at the restaurant, just us, and we have breakfast together and before work. And we kind of meet and talk about things. And one of us has a devotion. And he goes, a devotion. I said, yeah, we talk about what's important in our life, things like that, and it's a good restaurant. Well, you know what? He goes to the breakfast, and one thing leads to another, and he has a good time at the breakfast. And then, you know, he's invited to play on the softball team at the church. And so he signs up for the softball team. At the end of the year, they have an awards banquet for the softball season, and he goes to the award banquet, and he meets more people. And then he meets some people that he can recognize from the place from where he works that he always looked up to, some people he thought there was something special about. And so he wanted to know more about, well, why do you go to this church? And they began to tell him about a Sunday school class. And the next thing you know, he and his wife were going to a Sunday school class. And out of that Sunday school class came an opportunity to go to a marriage retreat. He and his wife went to a marriage retreat. He got involved in the men's ministry. As a result of going to the marriage retreat, getting involved in the men's ministry, his family life became better. He became stronger in his family relationships. And then he became interested in knowing, what is it that you believe in? And already several of his friends were ready to invite him to a disciple Bible study, and he was more than eager to go to the disciple Bible study. And after the disciple Bible study, they didn't just say, well, that's that. They said, you know what? The Holy Spirit gives each of us a spiritual gift, something that we can use, that is ours to use for the glory of God, for the kingdom of God. Each person has a gift. He was interested in knowing what his gift was. And the people around the table in his disciple Bible study helped to discern for him by saying, you know what? I see in you this, or I see in you that. And he began to think about, do you indeed see that in me? And they said, yes. And one thing led to another. And towards the end of the story, there's a day when in church, he's long joined the church, he and his family, been baptized and everything else. But one day in church, the pastor introduces him to the congregation as the leader of the mission team that will be going to Zimbabwe to minister to orphans of AIDS. And he gets up and he's beginning to talk about the mission and what they're getting ready to do. And before he sits down, the pastor has a question. How did you get involved in this? And he's stunned. He doesn't know how to answer the question. And he says, you know, I often wonder, how in the world did I get here? Standing before all these people, telling them that I'm going to lead a bunch of people to Zimbabwe. How did I get here? And he thought for a second, and then he said, an invitation to a football game. See how one invitation leads to another invitation, leads to another invitation, leads to another invitation. And then you see, as you come and see, what Jesus does to change lives and to change things. You know, that was Jesus' way. John the Baptist saw Jesus walk by, and he said to everybody gathered around, there is the Lamb of God. And two of John's disciples started following Jesus. Jesus recognized it, turned around and said, hey, what are y'all looking for? And they said, where do you live? And he says, come and see. Do you know what that means? Jesus said, Come and live with me for a while. Come and walk with me. Spend time with me a while. Now, you see, if they were just curious and didn't really mean it, they would have walked away. But they wanted to know, and so they spent time with Jesus. That was Jesus' method. You see, it's not the knowledge of the doctrines of the faith that people need. They're important. But it's the person of Jesus Christ who invites people to spend time in His presence. We close out this service simply by saying that you are invited to come and to acknowledge your need for Jesus Christ, to know Him so you can share Him. And you're also invited to come and to rededicate your life to share Him. Let us stand. You're invited for prayer.